The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, manifold, matter-of-fact, must-hear, mesmerizing, and not even close to meticulous Monday as we unite in one mind and one heart in our Father, in our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. First up, we keep in mind the crucial elements of life, like when the McRib returns, when there is a two-for-one deal on pizza, when our birthday is, but do we retain the most important truths? That's the question. And next, we are soldiers in a war, whether we see it or not. And the battlefield is light and darkness. One is connected to God, the other is not. And finally, we do a review of Pastor Ray's devotional having to do with seeing water coming out of a rock. That, by the way, is impossible. That, by the way, is why we know it is God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. If you call in, Terrific T will answer the phone. It'll just be like a warm blanket, just covering you. She's so nice. And then she'll pass you over to me, and then that'll be a little short in the electricity, and then we'll see what happens there. Also, you can text us, 214-210-8483. That will directly get through. Now, you know, and I want to make sure you understand this, it's for praise reports, prayer requests. It's for pop questions, if we can answer them on the spot. Just comments, that's fine. And also for trivia. The next segment on trivia, we're going to introduce our trivia sponsor. So you're going to hear a little bit of that stuff taking place. Yeah, we got a sponsor for trivia. I didn't even look. They came to us. We just like, how happy are we, right? Going to take care of that in just a little bit. First, let's open up with a simple trivia to keep everything simple and right before us. In what book of the Bible do you find the story of the burning bush? Of the burning bush, and just for a political joke, we're not talking about former presidents. From the burning bush. Come on, that's funny. All right, you are welcome to call in, or you are welcome to text. Either way, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483. Don't forget, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And sometimes I'm not sure. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Okay, a couple things. First and foremost, we need to start with our DNA. You up for DNA? Feeling good for DNA? Got it. T, we're going to do DNA together. Here it is. The DNA are your building blocks, by the way, of what you're made of as a Christian. I don't care what the news is. People are saying, Dave, the most important thing ever is going to happen tomorrow. You mean Jesus is coming back tomorrow? Cool. I hope he comes back before the end of this show, right? Okay. But what you're made of is the most important thing there is in regards to the Lord. DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
That's not a weekly thing. You can't be a Christian Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. If you're not a Christian 24/7, you're not a Christian. I hate the people. That's so mean. tough. I don't care. Draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed. How often to be ashamed? Never be ashamed of Jesus and his words. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. You never know when your master is going to call upon you, in what moment or in what way for you to honor him and to honor the kingdom. Okie dokie, artichokey. Okie dokie. All right, so pretty simple question to open up with. Not trying to make it complex, getting it rolling. People are already answering, people sending in texts. In what book of the Bible do you find the story about the burning bush? Today we will not be doing a Hebrew word because I am going to be doing one teaching on Ray on his devotional. Some of you got that book and you thought that was really great and started off, but you didn't say stay consistent. I'm here to help you get back into that consistency. Before I do anything else, though, I want to give a prop and an acknowledgement to the church that I went to yesterday. So as many of you know, I attend Stillwater Community Church in Rowlett, Texas, which is, I think it's 4 minutes from where Noel works. I think it's like 4.5 minutes, but it's, you know, 10, 15 minutes from our house. And Pastor Kurt preached a message yesterday, and I'm just going to tell you, I went up to him afterwards and I said, "That's the best message I've heard in the entire last year of my life." So I'm not, I get nothing for it. There's no anything to it. If you get a chance, you want to type in Stillwater, two words, Still, S-T-I-L-L, Water Community Church. And then on their website somewhere, and there's like the sermons and podcasts and stuff like that. So you can either watch it or you can hear it or do whatever. I am telling you, it is a worthwhile endeavor of your time. Excellent message by Pastor Kurt. Really, really on the spot. Perfect and perfect. Okay, let's get into it. Do we get everything? Covered everything. All right, let's get into our first teaching. Here we go, out of the book of Daniel, which I know some of you are really studying because you're thinking these are all eschatological times, and there is a lot of eschatological stuff going on. Never forget, no matter what you say, we are one day closer to the Lord returning. I was just reading the other day about trumpets. It's like, I can't wait to hear it. That's all I can say. Trumpet, blow the trumpet. All right, Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 through 4. So I gave my attention to the Lord God, to seek him by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, "Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments." Then Daniel goes off to talk a little bit more to the Lord about certain things. But whenever I read something, it's not like, I don't know, there's a lot of weird stuff like, you know, name it, claim it, say it, do it, think it, be it, whatever, all that stuff. I don't care about that. But sometimes when I'm reading, I'm thinking, how would that be? Daniel would be there and he'd be praying, he'd be talking to the Lord. And, you know, he would be saying, you know, he's kind of in this place of prayer. He's in supplication. He's in fasting. He's in confessions. And then he starts talking about the Lord's covenant. And I'm just thinking, you know, how would that be between me and God? I mean, between Daniel and God. I'm sure it was a lot better, a lot purer than it would be with me. But here's the four things that just kind of jump out at me. First, he comes before the Lord by prayer and supplication, and the difference between supplication and prayer. You don't need to get technical on stuff like this, but a supplication is more of a humble petition. You know, prayer is more of the engagement and talking with God, and then the humble petition is kind of like what you'd give to a king. Here's my supplication. Can you consider it? Da-da-da-da-da. He was fasting. A lot of people try and identify fasting as taking a wooden stick and hitting yourself on the head. That is not correct. Fasting has to do with going without. You can fast food. You can fast coffee. You can fast, for those of you that are more liberal in your walk, you can fast drinking. You can fast anything that's in your life that needs to, or that is kind of a drain on you a little bit, and you need to kind of either eradicate or get control. Or if you just want to be in that position where you're trying to increase your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the Word of God, through the different circumstances that you're going to. I do believe that fasting has become a lost art in the 21st century, because in our country, if you go through a fast food place and you don't get your hamburger in 60 seconds, you're ready to throw a fit, put the car in park, go out and start shouting at people. It's a little silly. I don't think anywhere in the world before America's fast food places did they come up with food in 5 seconds. It's like we are so impatient, right? And then, you know, how many people underneath their breath go, oh, my gosh, will you get out of the fast lane? Okay, so I'm just saying, yeah, 65's not fast enough. It must be 80. Okay, just think of it that way. So anyway, but fasting, and then by confession, which is acknowledgement that we're not perfect. I don't know if you have a hard time doing this. Most of you probably don't. It's really coming before the Lord. I do sometimes. I do the Star Trek scanner. Examine me. You know, I think I'm being pretty sorry for all the stupid things I do. And if there's something I'm missing, show me, because I want to do better. And these are all really normal things in prayer. But this last thing is the thing I wanted to talk about. He says, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. There is one thing that you and I should be remembering when we go into prayer, whether you're fasting, whether you're confessing, whether it's prayer, whether it's a humble petition, and that is God has made a covenant of love with you and me. Now, a covenant is an agreement. It's not a pact, but it's best understood as agreement, not necessarily a contract. But what God is saying is, I'm going to love you no matter what. I want you to follow after me. And when you're falling short, I'm going to be there and help you. And I'm going to help you become more and more and reflect Jesus Christ more and more. But we don't think of the covenant and what God is doing as one that is love as much as do it right, be right, here's my whip, bad kid, bap, bap, bap. And then we, you know, we think that God's up there with like some kind of whip or something, or some kind of cap gun, and he's shooting at us or something. This is a covenant of love. If God didn't bother to love us, he'd have just wiped us out. You'd be non-existent. You wouldn't have to worry. But he does love you. And what happens is we forget. And so Daniel comes, he's praying, he's bringing a supplication, he's fasting, he's confessing, and then he's like, hey, you who keep this covenant of love, oh, yeah, thank you. Why? Because sometimes you just need to know that somebody loves you, and everything else is kind of stupid. And that's what you need. That's how you were designed. In what book of the Bible do you find the story about the burning bush? The answer is Exodus. Exodus. Thank you very much. All right. Going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready to do our trivia question. People might want to know, what's Monday, Dave? Why are you in such a good mood? Because I'm doing really good in my Greek class. So I'm just happy because it's so hard. But I'm doing good in it, so I'm happy because it's so... That's all I got. Okay, let's get ready for trivia.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC coach today. Call or visit him online at texasairking.com.
There you go, Texas Air King. All right. We just want to thank them for being a part. So Coach is the person who kind of coordinates that company, and we just want to say thank you for being a sponsor for our trivia. Here's our trivia question, and just because we have the first one happening this way, we're going to do a multiple choice. So you have, depending on how many answers I give you, you know, percentage to get them right. Bartimaeus was a lame... B, deaf, C, blind, or D, leprous. Okay? It's A, B, C, or D. Lame, deaf, blind, or leprous. I think they should have said a leper, but that's just me. I'm just wondering. If you think you know the answer, or you do know the answer, you can call in, or... So you can call the 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. In the meantime, this is the time I'm supposed to tell you, don't forget about our website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There's not a lot new on the website, by the way. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I did not come up with the map for you to find gold. Sorry. I didn't do it. That's all I can say. Got a lot of people. I've talked to quite a few people. A lot of people have tension up and down, this, that, whatever. Here's the one thing I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to say much more about it for the rest of the day. These are the things that are true. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee. Do you trust in God? Good enough. Then just okay, fine. Chris, cool. This is a tougher teaching. So I'm just telling you that right now. A tougher teaching heading our way. Here we go. This is coming out of Ephesians. If you guys remember, we did the book of Ephesians a while ago for our expository. Now we're in Philippians. Here's something out of Ephesians 2. This is what I want you to catch. This is the war that you're really in that doesn't get talked about, let's just say, on television very much, or I think it gets talked about more on radio, but not so much on the internet, not so much in magazines, stuff like that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the worldly age, according to the ruler of the atmospheric domain, the spirit that's now working in those who are disobedient. What we don't recognize often, because it's easy to be self-centered, it's easy for me to be self-centered, for T, for Jennifer, for Sarah, for Don, for any of us, because we have our lives, and you know you have to live your life, and you're trying to do the right things, but we give a lot of mind time to how we are. We give a lot of mind time to how we're doing. And what we don't recognize is that that statement that I'm making right there, if we were back me about 400 or 500 years ago, they wouldn't have used the phrase mind time. But in our lives, we look at that and we think, well, that we know that's things that we're thinking about, things that are running through our mind. And then there's nothing abnormal about covering the stuff in our lives and trying to do the things that we're supposed to do physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, and otherwise. But what happens, and what you might not be aware of, is there's a built-in into your actual physical human DNA. There's built-in there where if you don't spend so much concentrating looking inward, but spend some little more time looking outward, there's a little flip in your system that releases endorphins. Endorphins are the things that make you feel good. Whenever you hear endorphins, you should be there going, yay, yay, because that's a good thing. And when you concentrate on others and not yourself, that little flip for the endorphin goes off. Now, don't you find it ironic that the creator of the universe who created humanity made it in such a way that if you and I spend less time thinking about us and more time thinking about other people, we're happier? Oh, wow. So see how smart God is. But what we've missed is that there's a war going on, and it's a war between light and darkness. And it's that straight. Jesus is, ready, the light of the world. And what he did is he brought light to the world. And some people who were formerly in darkness see that light and go, yay. And other people see that light and go, boo. Well, guess what? We're a part of that light army. Okay? We're a part of that brilliant, illuminous army of the Lord. We used to walk in step with the worldly age, according to the ruler of this age. And for those that don't understand why there is such tension between the worldly and the Christian, and it's simple, it's because Satan is the unseen true king of the worldly ways. He's the ruler of the age of the world that is in rebellion against God, all the way back to the garden, where he talked mankind into saying, I'll be just like God. And so everybody who's in the world is along those lines. And that's when we were disobedient, that's when we were rebellious, and that's what some people are walking in now. But now that you're a Christian, now that you're a believer, they look at you as though you're what? You're horrible, you're evil, you're all these things because they hate the light and they love the darkness. And if you're a child of the light, they hate you. Instead of exposing the deeds, they want to turn the light off and keep everything covered. What's cool about God? Well, the rest of the verse, of course. Verse 5, 4 and 5. But God, who's abundant in mercy because of his great love, remember we just talked about the covenant of love, that he has for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. By grace you are saved. The reality is that we have light in our life because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We were all in darkness. We were all sinners. We were all worldly oriented. And God put a plan in place. Why? It tells you right in the text. Because of his great love. It's like, oh, I can't let you guys go down this road. Have you ever talked to somebody? Just bear with me. Have you ever, I'm going off track here. Have you ever talked to somebody and you just knew that they told you, this is what we're going to do and this is what we're going to do. And you're just thinking, that is a horrible decision. That is just a bad direction to go. You know, that's just a bad idea, bad thing to do. That's how it is with God in us. He's like, oh, this is just bad. This is a bad idea. This is a bad plan. Where you guys are going on your own is just a wrong idea. But instead of saying nothing because we're trying to be these supportive friends who are really not supporting by letting people do dumb things, God steps in and goes, can't let you go that route. Can't do it. Gonna have to shine the light here. Gonna have to show you something. And in his love, he brings us from the darkness into the light, and he makes us alive through Jesus Christ. Now, you might be out there, and you might be thinking, well, I've never really said yes to Jesus, yes to the gospel truth, that he died for my sins, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. Well, say it right now. I mean, you don't have to have some big fanfare. You just have to say, yes, Jesus, I agree with you. I agree with your testimony. You have to just say the simplest prayer of help me, Jesus. I want to be saved. I don't want to be in the darkness. I don't want to be a part of the world. I don't want to be a part of the rebellion. If you're a person that's sitting there and you're thinking, man, I'm really kind of dead inside, then say, help me, Jesus. And you can be alive. The Holy Spirit will take up residency in you. The Lord Jesus Christ will live in your heart by faith. God the Father will open your eyes and you'll see things you've never seen before. And you want to know why you'll see them? Because you'll be in the light. And when you walk into a room and there's no light, you can't see. But when you turn the light on, all of a sudden everything becomes visible. So Jesus Christ is not only our salvation, he's our solution. And not only is he our solution, he's our salvation. And Jesus is everybody's solution and salvation. You keep thinking, well, that just seems ridiculous. God doesn't need to give there's 500 ways to get me. It's God's house. He tells you how to get it in. He says, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You don't tell God how you're getting into his house. He's telling you how to get in. But you got to go to the light. And if you're a person that's in darkness, just ask him. Just say, Jesus, please come into my life right now. I acknowledge everything you say is true. And you'll have light, and you'll be able to see. And your life won't be crummy. Now, it's not going to be perfect, but it won't be hopeless. And for far too many people, their lives are hopeless. That's not necessary. Okay? All right. Barnabas was blind. Barnabas was blind. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, for those that do not know. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at texasairking.com.
You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know,
Tell me the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
I'm not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart
is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's a, kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, before we get into our next trivia question, I feel this is a good time to tell a joke. What do you think? You think this is a good time? What do you think? Poor T has to put up with so, you have to put up with so much, don't you? All right, how about this one? What did Noah say when he was loading all the animals in the ark? What did Noah say when he was loading all the animals in the ark? Any idea? Once, twice? Now I heard everything. See, now I... Very good. Okay, this is a classic, and then we might have heard this one, but I love this one. When did Moses sleep with five people in one bed? When did Moses sleep with five people in one bed? When he slept with his forefathers. See, forefathers back in the day. He's just taking
Jesus! Tell me, Jewish God!
Okay, apparently we're going to trivia. All right. What was the name of, this is the actual trivia question. What was the name of the special food that God provided for the children of Israel? So that's the question. Many of you should know that answer. And as a bonus, do you know what the word means? What was the special food that God provided for the children of Israel? And as a bonus, do you know what the word means? Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, excellent, excellent, excellent. We're having some fun. People calling in and texting on that trivia question. So let's get ready for that. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
William Rogers.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great, and I hope you're better.
I am actually doing really, really well, I must say. I appreciate you saying that as well. All right, my good friend, here we go. Straightforward. I'm going to get it. It's the one question you can just answer. If you know the one other part of it, you can tell me. What is the name of the special food that God provided for the children of Israel?
Manna. What is it?
That is correct on both sides. Both of them.
They looked at it and they said, what is it? I remember being young and Jewish in our household. My mom would make something. I think I said manna without knowing it was manna about 100 times. What is that? What is it? You know? Excellent job. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And you nailed both of them right off the bat. So that was excellent. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. You have a terrific rest of the day. I hope the rest of the show is a blessing.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Woohoo! That's the way to rock and roll. That's the way you get it going. All right. I like it. I like it. See? So, manna, what is it? Because they never, you know, God was feeding them. You know, the manna stopped as soon as when? As soon as it got to the promised land. It's like, oh, that should be everything you should ever want to know right there, too, right? Okay. History, my friends. Let's do a little bit of history.
Let's go live.
Okay, now I've done this one before. Tis my favorite. I don't want to hear anything negative from anybody. If you want to email me, email me to gdave. I don't like your jokes or your history, so here it is. Here's my complaint at gmail.com. The account only lasts about another 10 seconds. Let me know if you can get it in there. I love this day. This is classic. It's plan your epitaph day. So your epitaph is what you put on your tombstone when you pass away, what you want them to say. The funniest one I have ever seen in my life, and people will understand this if you're older, I told her I didn't feel good. See, that's for all of the guys who, whenever they get sick, act like they're dying, okay? Which is like every time I get sick, I'm like, okay, honey, make sure you remember all the plans. It's like, yeah. All right. It's also Cookie Monster Day. Got to like that, right? Cookies. If you don't like cookies, I'm not going to talk to you. And then broadcast traffic professionals. That's the people that do the traffic, broadcasting the traffic. So I'll tell you right now, on the road right now, wait. There is a car, and it is moving forward. Okay. There's your traffic. I'm not sure giving you that much freedom is that much of a good idea. It's National Deviled Egg Day. I don't want to hear anything from anybody about deviled egg. You can't say deviled egg. Never say the word Thursday because that's named after the god Thor. See, sometimes you just got to stop with those kind of things. I happen to like those kind of eggs. They got the little, what is it, the paprika? And do you like those?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can add a little bacon in it too.
Ooh! Man alive, I did not even think of that. See, you added a whole other thing to me. All right, here you go. This is something that nobody will care about. In 1896, the first automobile insurance policy was sold by General Accident Company in Britain. I just can't figure out why it was in 1896. They hardly had cars. It's just like, I mean, they must have had a couple somewhere. 1920 on this day, the first commercial radio station started broadcasting, and it began with the results of the United States presidential election. I think that's interesting. And then finally, in 2000 on this day, the first crew arrived at the International Space Station, so that was 20 years ago. Okay. All right. Joy just sent me a text. We call them angeled eggs. I love you guys. All right, this is from Ray's book. A lot of you got Ray's book. A lot of you started reading Ray's devotional book, A Daily Little Short Thing. Remember, you can go to raybentley.com to get the book. You can also go on our website. Oh, wait, we did the website, didn't we? Did we do it? I don't think we did it. Yeah, we did. We did it. I don't remember. Don't forget the website. We don't have to do it. I'm out of time anyway. His book is This Day. It's a daily devotional. I want to read one from something that he did a couple weeks ago. It's called Water from the Rock. Okay, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Our attitude during times of testing can determine the outcome of our trials. Do you hear that? That's just right there. Listen to that. Our attitude during times of testing can determine the outcome of our trials. A bad attitude is often a manifestation of unbelief or a lack of gratitude. When the children of Israel, led by Moses, complained during their desert journey, they forgot all God had done for them. They started hearkening back to the good old days in Egypt. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? That's how they whined. Egypt, were they crazy? Were they thinking that the last good of that last good meal and forgetting 400 years of abuse and beatings and slavery and death? A temporary hardship made them yearn for the past. Listen to that. This is why I love Ray. A temporary hardship made them yearn for the past instead of a more glorious future, the one the Lord had planned for them. Wow. But Israel learned that God tests his people through everyday experiences of life. Each day brings new opportunity to be faithful and to have an attitude of gratitude and trust. We are certainly being tested now. And the era of COVID and political turmoil has left a lot of people stressed and longing for the good old days. But what a difference it makes to our mental well-being when we exercise faith and look to the future with hope rather than lamenting what we think we are missing. When the Israelites complained to Moses, probably because they were afraid to complain to God directly, he did what any wise leader does. He called on the Lord for help. Asking for help from the Almighty is like opening the doors and letting God in, opening your heart and surrendering your will to His and letting the Spirit act on your behalf. God, the loving Father, helped Moses out. In spite of the behavior and attitudes of the people, he told Moses to take his rod and stand by the rock at Horeb. He said, "Then I will stand before you, strike the rock, and the water will come out of it for the people to drink." The best part, God promised, "I will stand there before you." The Lord was with Moses every step of the way, just as he is with us. I think there's a great lesson here in 100 different directions. And I think that what happens is we do go through trials and we don't like them. And it's not that you can't tell God how you feel, but we do a lot more complaining than thanking. And therein lies a big problem. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, which means that the words that we use testify to what's inside of our hearts. And if we're talking to God and most of what we're doing is complaining, then that's manifesting that we're whiners. And that's pretty interesting for people that don't deserve the right to exist to complain against the one who created existence. It's like that might be dumb. It's kind of like telling the person who's about to lend you $1,000, "Man, you're ugly." It's like that would be not the I don't know. Would that be a dumb thing to do? "Man, you're ugly. I don't really like you. Give me the money." It's like, come on. Got to stop that stuff. We're so much smarter than that, so much better. All these things are written so that we can look at it and go, "Yeah, we're not going to do that." Right? All right. Here's the biggest deal of all. God loves you. God loves you. You got to make the best decision you can. We got to do what we can. You're right. The first and foremost decision you better remember is the fact or the truth of biblical teachings that God loves you. Then, once you have received and processed that, you may move to the next thing. Get it? Got it? Keep it. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. and check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
If Jesus was
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about livinginhisgrip.com from Glenn in September. We appreciate that, you reaching out to those guys, checking out their website for free. Before I do the trivia, I do want to acknowledge something. I know it's a rarity on this show for me ever to say that I made a mistake. I only do it, I think, every other segment that I can think of. When Dave was talking, I'm talking in third person here. Ricky Anderson used to do it. I thought it was great. When I was talking to our caller, we had a caller last Friday, I think, or Thursday. It was a new caller, and she was so gracious. And I had told her that, I said, do you remember where Priscilla and Aquila had met Apollos? And I had told her it was at Corinth, and I was wrong. So I did some checking. Not anybody told me. I was just thinking, is that right? Is that right? And that was wrong. It's that they met Paul in Corinth, Priscilla and Aquila. They had actually met Apollos in Ephesus, about 360 miles differential, kind of like the difference between where Dallas is and Baton Rouge is. So it's kind of like, so yeah, I was way off. I was just correcting it, because it was like, I was wrong. Okay. When you're wrong, you just eat your humble pie and move on. Here's the trivia question. Jesus, in the book of the Bible, where do you find the following words? And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should ever be written, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written about it. What book of the Bible is that text from? That's one. We'll leave it right there. If you think you know, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483 if you want to text in. So you can call in or text in. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so excellent. People are already responding. Everybody's getting it right, so that's a good thing. I'm going to give you that opportunity to call in or even interrupt me during this last little teaching. I did want to tell you. So I need a little prayer for a couple of things, not the least of which is I'm praying about tomorrow's show. So I have an idea what I want to do, but I'm not sure if it's right. So I want to kind of get a better sense. I mean, it's not going to be super duper boring that I can tell. I hope. And then outside of that, let's see. I'll give updates on family members and all the other stuff later on in the week. I want to talk about this Psalm 142. Not going to get too deep into this, but I want to bring something out that I think is important to bring out for all of us. So Psalm 142, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path in the way where I walk. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there's no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they're too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. So there is some phenomenal stuff in this, and I want to identify it. When he's talking about pouring out his complaint, it's not complaint after complaint after complaint. He's sharing his struggle, but he doesn't sit there and go, by the way, I don't like you. I mean, he's just pouring it out, and then he says something that's amazing, and by that's what I want to make sure you don't misunderstand. It's one thing to come before the Lord and say, Lord, this situation is just driving me. It's really hard on me. And then, just like we talked to Alan, then you surrender it and say, but you have to be king of it, and I need to surrender it to you, and I ask you to help me. You know, that's it in a nutshell. But you don't just sit there and whine and whine and whine. That's what we did when we were 3 and 4 and 5 to try and get our parents to do stuff for us. It's like, okay, well, that's when you're a kid, so let's not do that. But he says something that's just absolutely amazing. He says, no one cares for my soul. That statement is, I think, what we would call brutally honest on how his feelings are taking the best at the moment. And he just feels like there's nobody. Even if he has people that love him and are attached to him, even at those times, there are times when you go through your life and you feel like there's just this big donut in your heart that no human being could ever fill. And you're right. That is the hole that only God can fill. And so he says, no one cares for my soul. And I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, the portion in the land of the living. Everybody's trying to establish their own little kingdom and their own little way and, you know, do a checking account, savings account. I'm not saying that all the money in and of itself is bad, but we try to establish our own little kingdoms. It's just true. Sometimes you just got to own it. And just like, he's just like, I really want you, Lord, to be my portion. I want you to be my shepherd. I want you. I want you now. That's the only thing that's going to make this hole go away. And he says, you know, give heed to my cry. I'm brought very low. This is a person that's feeling blue. Have you ever felt blue? I have. I mean, have you ever felt like, bah. You know, sometimes you sit there and you think, oh. You know, you want the Lord to come back, but not actually because you want the Lord to come back. You want the Lord to come back so that you can just be done like this. Oh, finally, right? I mean, that's just being honest. But then he says this thing that I think is just critical for you and me. He says in verse 7 of Psalm 142, verse 7, remember this, bring my soul out of prison. That's not a physical jail that your soul is in. You're not in the Dallas County Jail. He's talking about his soul is like imprisoned. And he just knows that on the inside, he feels like he's in a bondage on the inside. Forget. I'm not even talking. We're not talking addictions, nothing. You're talking about the inner part of you, and it feels like the inner part of you is in prison. And he's like, bring me out. Bring me out. Bring me out so I can give thanks to you. Bring me out so I can have something to be able to praise with. Because the soul, the inside of me, the inner being, my inner everything, is just bound up. Please help me, because if you don't help me, I'll never be helped. And that, I think, is why people love the Psalms. Because you read that and you go, I get it. I don't even know that somebody has to come and preach and exposit or explain it on the radio or on the pulpit or anywhere else. I get it. Bring my soul out of prison. Yes. Because that's how I feel, Lord. I feel like I'm in prison on the inside. And you know it has nothing to do with the actual physical prison. It's the prison of the person's soul. I was like, wow. Well, how powerful is that? Just one little psalm. You go, man, that guy can write. I'm a man. Nobody cares. You're my real portion. Get me out of prison on the inside. And the Lord does. Because that's the only place you're going to get the answer to fill that hole. And for those of you that are already Christians and you're thinking, well, I'm a Christian, and so I shouldn't have those problems. Ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's for somebody who's never made that decision, they make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. For those of us that have made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, this is an entire process where you become more and more dependent on God and more connected to God, because why is he going to want to spend eternity with you if you don't want to be fully into him? It's like, it's absurd. And so this process is for the believer. This isn't David writing as an unbeliever. This is him writing as I'm a Christian or a believer. He didn't call himself a Christian. But the idea is to understand. He's like, yeah, everything I need to have, it's in you. You're my refuge. You're my portion. I need your help. I'm in jail on the inside. Get me out. Now think of this. Jesus came to set the captives free. Not just from sin, but from the prison within. That's what he came for, to help you out. Get it? Okay, in the trivia question, the answer is John. That's where that was found. John chapter 21, verse 25. Excellent job on everybody that answered on that. Really good job. Good show. Really appreciate you guys and love you. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.